My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Do you guys really want to do this?
Huh?
Do you really want to do this?
No.
Yeah. I mean, we're here. I drove 20 minutes to get here. Yes.
Of course we do.
We better do this.
Okay.
Wow. Releasing Carson Wentz saves the Commanders $26.17 million.
Can't let you go. We cannot let this train get off the tracks before we even start.
No, we should never let it get off the tracks because you don't want that to happen.
Are we just going to use like train jokes the entire time?
I got a little Mississippi leg hand.
Because of Union Station.
Once I get started, you got to let me finish.
Yeah. You know, who will be the caboose? That's Mr. Irrelevant this year is the caboose. Because it's the end of the train, you know?
I think I might go home.
All right, Chris is gone.
Train jokes the entire time.
Chris is gone. That's Chris who knows. This is character concerns before we get going. We got to get some pleasantries out of the way here. If you're listening to this podcast, please do us a favor. Hit that subscribe button. Leave a rating. Leave a review. That's how we get this thing rolling. That's how we get this train off the tracks. That's how we get this train out of the station.
That's terrible.
Tell everybody you love Christian Nocero, too. Just.
This isn't a Christian Nocero vanity project. This is...
Partially.
It is a little bit. So this is an NFL draft podcast.
Right. Showing some real character concerns.
Featuring me.
It's about
you guys.
The NFL draft, but it's going to have a Kansas City flavor. Not just because... This is being disseminated by 610 Sports Radio, the home of the Chiefs, but because the NFL draft is taking place in Kansas City. So I think from a lot of different perspectives, this draft is going to have a Kansas City flavor, and it's exciting for people in Kansas City. It's always exciting when your team is the defending Super Bowl champs. How are you going to add to it? How are you going to infuse this roster with even more talent, especially considering what Brett Veach has done? So with Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero, I am Nick Schwert. We are delighted to have you with us today. I want to start this episode, guys, by looking at specifically what the Chiefs want and need. So let's ignore the draft class and how we think this draft is going to shake out and what positions are going to go where and how the board's going to fall to Kansas City. I just want to look specifically at how things would work in an ideal world for Brett Veach and the Chiefs. So, in a perfect world, what position do you think the Chiefs are putting at the top of their priority list? Where do you think the Chiefs are starting when they are targeting players and positions for this 2023 draft class?
I think there's three they're kind of targeting. I do think the wide receiver is still really high on their list because if not, they don't bring Juju back, Mecole Hardman takes off, what else are they going to do? They want to supply Patrick Mahomes with different weapons. So I think wide receiver sits out there. They are going to have help on the offensive line. I don't think that comes in the first round. I think that comes later in the draft. Defensive line, this is a very strong defensive line class.
Okay, but specifically,
the edge rushers, believe it or not, the top.
Okay, so let me stop you there with defensive line. Do you think defensive line as a whole is still a position that they'll target, or is it just edge rushers that we're looking at?
I think best available at either defensive line or edge rush. I know they were satisfied last year with what they're getting from their edge rush. I mean, how could they not be? 24 more sacks last year than the year before, finishing a nice cool second in the National Football League. I didn't think we'd be sitting here talking about the Chiefs being second in the NFL in sacks. I mean, the fact they did that is a great building block for what this defense. Not only that, but improved against stopping the run. Top 10 defense against stopping the run. Two things the Chiefs couldn't do in the past. And to keep doing that, keep supplying that talent, is to always increase the defensive line, the rotation, as the Chiefs love that rotation so much. But seeing Karlaftis trying to, you know, really start to change gears there, he's starting to act a little bit like Max Crosby. Now, he hadn't shown, you know, the early propensity like Max Crosby did, but I like the high motor skill, and I liked him to Max Crosby in the draft last year. Chris, we brought on his coach in college. I even brought
we did,
up,
yeah.
Hey, what do you think of Max Crosby and George Karlaftis? He loved the comparison, Jeff Brom. He loved the comparison of George and Max Crosby because you can't teach that kind of motor skills that he has. But Jarius Sneed, I mean, is he on the trade block or not? We don't know, but they know they love blitzing him from the nickel corner. The Chiefs love. Nobody blitzes more from the secondary than the Chiefs.
Don't you think those are sort of evergreen spots for the Chiefs? Because those are the two positions we were talking about 12 months ago, targeting in the draft, right? Receiver and edge rusher. And I know you could say this with any team. You can never have enough pass rushers. You can never have enough pass catchers. In terms of pass catchers, we know how this team is going to continue to build around Patrick Mahomes. When you look specifically to their current roster, we don't know what's going to happen with Frank Clark. We don't know what's going to happen with Colin Saunders. Who else is a free agent? Is Derek Nnadi?
Derek Nnadi's a free agent, too.
You've got a lot of question marks as to who's coming back. It feels like it is sort of, in a way, rehashing what we were doing a year ago going into the draft.
Yeah, I think you got to go edge. First off, because we don't know what's going to happen with Frank.
You think that's priority number one?
I think that's priority number one. Unless you feel like you can get a quality starter in the second round, because this is a very, there's a lot of depth at the edge rushing spot, probably in the first couple rounds, maybe third round, we'll see. But at least in the first couple rounds, there's some guys I think could fall into the second round that you could probably trade up and get if you really want. But I think that you want to make sure that your pass rush stays premium for the team. As Big brought up, 24 more sacks this past season than they had in 2021. And I think that was one of the big reasons why they ended up getting to the Super Bowl. Because in the playoffs, when you needed your pass rush to go out there and help you win because you had injuries on your offense, they got the job done. So I think pass rush is going to be so important, both on the edge and in the interior. And I also think, yeah, receiver, it just makes your job as a quarterback so much easier. So they have to go out there and get a receiver at some point in the first couple days so that they have someone else that Mahomes can get the ball to.
Well, there's three positions that could be depleted. It depends on what happens in the offseason. Obviously, Orlando Brown situation.
Right.
But the offensive line, Wiley, free agent as well. The offensive line could take some hits. So what else can take hits for this team? Defensive line as well. We talked about some of the free agents the Chiefs have on the defensive line. So the defensive line, that, and wide receiver. Those three positions are not like linebacker, not like corners, not like safeties for this team, even though Thornhill is a free agent. But I look at the offensive line, could be rated, depends on what they do in the offseason, where they want to make a priority. The defensive line, some of these characters can come back for this team and probably will come back for the Chiefs. But they could take major hits in all three of those areas, depending on how the offseason goes, especially wide receiver. There's no better example, and it kind of makes Mahomes even look even better, that Bengals game. Justin Watson was hurt, he had an illness, excuse me, wouldn't even play in that game. When you're down to Fortson and Noah Gray running receiver routes, you know, the converted tight ends, and you know, Fortson was a former wide receiver, but that's not ideal to be playing the Cincinnati Bengals.
He's a tight end now.
But he had nobody to throw to, and even you go to the first half of the Super Bowl, at two catches, 11 yards between the wide receivers before Juju, you know, kind of woke up there in the second half. But those three positions, I think the Chiefs are going to figure out what they're going to do in the offseason. And one of those will be the priority in the draft. Like last year was defensive backs. I honestly think they're going to go wide receiver heavy in this draft.
I agree with you. I think there's a good chance they probably take a couple.
Okay, I want to separate those two positions now because it seems like everybody's in agreement here. Wide receiver, pass rusher are going to be the two priorities. They're very two different positions in how you can draft them, right? Historically speaking. Let's start first with pass rusher. We know, like, pass rushers, if there is an elite prospect like there was last year, like there is almost every single year or every other year, you're going to be a top five pick. You're going to be a top 10 pick. It's tough to get value players at the edge spot. Now, the Chiefs were lucky last year in George Karlaftis. I think, you know, going into the draft, A lot of mock drafts had him as a top 15 guy, maybe like a fringe top 10 to 15 guy.
No one thought he would fall that far.
He all of a sudden falls to the end of the first round. The Chiefs get a six sack guy as a rookie, which, I mean, again, six sacks doesn't jump off the page at you, but for a rookie, that's a really impressive number. So can you use that last year? And
no, it is, because you go back, back at the rookies last couple of years. I mean, getting to 10 sacks is an anomaly.
So, it's really hard. Would it be, do you think it would be unwise to look at that position and say, well, you got a six sack guy at the end of the first round last year, why can't you do it again? Or do you feel like that's more of an anomaly, and if you want to go get a difference maker as an edge rusher, you may have to move up and try and get one higher in the draft?
If we were not, if this wasn't as deep of an edge rusher draft, like a lot of people, there were question marks last year about it initially, but I think after the combine, a lot of people were like, okay, there's probably going to be someone there where there's like Jermaine Johnson from Florida State, or if Karloftis were to fall, which I don't think anybody really thought, except for like I saw one guy from CBS who kept mocking him to the Chiefs down at the bottom of the first round, which I didn't think he was going to be there, but you know, lo and behold, he was. But if you have a really deep class, then yeah, I think you stay put. But if this were like some of the classes we've seen from previous years where it's like maybe two guys that you can really count on, yeah, you got to like probably look somewhere else or maybe go take a risk on like I know Beak will hate this, a Tano Passanio type, who's like a good physical specimen but showed like none of the technique to be a professional. Yeah. Like you'd have to take that kind of a risk on
the
second
day. That's why guys like Max Crosby are such great stories.
Right, yeah.
Because you get a guy in the fourth round who ends up being an all-pro caliber pass rusher. That never happens.
As a rookie. Yeah,
never happens.
Put it this way, not this year, but the year before, out of the top 28 sackers, because a lot of them were tied, top 28 sackers, 18 of that 28 were first-round picks. So you show like, okay, 12 first through 15 picks. So 12 of the 28 had to be picked between 1 and 15. Five second rounders, two third rounders, one fifth rounder, two of them undrafted as far as the top 28. So it's to say, okay, yeah, you get a needle in a haystack once in a while in the third round, but just two of the top 28 sackers in the NFL. One fifth rounder of that group and two undrafted. So it says there's 18 of them in the first round, 18 of 28. So if you're going to get somebody, you need to do it in the first round. But not only that, it would also say that nearly 50% of them were drafted in the first 15 picks. So, yeah, George Karloftis of the world are rare.
Right.
Because you got him at the end of the first round, because typically you need to be top 15 to get an adequate sacker.
Okay, so let's look at the flip side of that. Wide receivers are a completely different position with how you can acquire them. You go back to the last 3 years, each season, including last year, there were at least 15 receivers taken in the first three rounds with mixed results, right? It's not to say that you're getting a ton of all pros. Everybody goes back to the 2019 class, which is a great example, but it's not the standard where you had Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Deontay Johnson, right? All these guys going in the second round or later who have proven to be legit number one receivers. And a lot of people like to point to that and say, well, look at all of the great talent that you can get on day two at the receiver position. Last year, like, right, it's a little bit, the last couple of years are more of a wait and see. Guys like Michael Pittman from 2021, T. Higgins, but he was at the beginning of the first round, Chase Claypool, right? Depends how you feel about guys like that. So it's a mixed bag when you look at those second day guys. But the point remains that teams at least believe that you can get talent there, that you can wait on receiver. Unless you're getting one of those elite guys, you can afford to wait and see who falls to you, which is kind of what the Chiefs did with Sky Moore. Is there enough evidence to suggest that's simply how Brett Veach is going to do business with wide receivers in the draft? Or could you see him potentially using a first round pick on a receiver?
I could see him potentially doing that when you get somebody special elite. Do you want a number one, or do you want, you know, a quality number two eventually?
But do you think you're getting that at pick 31?
Yeah, I think the tendency to get a good wide receiver at pick 31, much different than edge rusher in other positions, especially offensive tackle, those kind of things.
I mean, T. Higgins went 33rd two years ago.
Out of those positions, I would say quality wide receiver at the end of the first round. But I also think they're banking on Mahomes making everybody better, too. I think they got a quarterback that can take talent around him like Manning did with Brandon Stokley and Jacob Tammy and those type of guys and elevate their talent. But I think the Chiefs somehow, it's kind of what they're looking at. Okay, but they will look at wide receiver, and I do believe they can get wide receivers in other rounds. But if you're going to stay put without moving, stay put without moving. Out of all the positions, I think wide receiver would be the way to go.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. That's a position. There's a lot of depth at it. Usually there is a lot of good depth in, unless you just have one of those terrible years for certain positions or whatnot. But there's a lot of guys that are kind of been thrown around. And like even the top guys, aside from Quentin Johnston, I've seen a lot of mocks for like Smith and Jigba, where he's going bottom first. I've seen Jordan Addison going bottom first. I mean, obviously, Binks guy, Jalen Hyatt. Like, I think...
I've seen him all over the place.
I think there's a very, very good chance that he's going to be there at 31. I'll say this.
If the 40 time doesn't just blow everything away.
If he's sub 4.3, the Chiefs might have to trade up to get him.
Yeah. These guys are going to move.
Yeah.
Like Quentin Johnson, all these guys are going to move a lot with the combine. Right. The combine this week, the wide receivers get going this Saturday. Quarterback, wide receiver, tight end get going on Saturday. That will be a lot of, I'll call that moving day. They call moving day in golf.
Yes.
That's moving day for them.
I feel like the way that this whole thing is set up, and I think normally, if this would have been a year ago, I'd be like, you know, if your guy's not there, then you had to go somewhere else or trade back or whatever. But the Chiefs surprised me when they traded up to go get McDuffie last year. And so to me, it's like, if Veach really likes a guy and somehow that guy falls out of the range that they thought he would be in, like McDuffie did, where they thought he would be gone by at worst 18, and then he's there at 21. I could totally see the Chiefs being like, okay, we're not going to get beat out for this guy because we really like him. And it paid off for them with McDuffie. And I could totally see them, it being the same thing with a Hyatt or whoever. If they really like that receiver there, I could totally see them train up because they got the capital to do it.
Okay, so that's a perfect transition because I love this about Brett Veach. And I think it's something amongst many impressive qualities that I've learned about him over the last 4 years.
Patrick Mahomes,
I think specifically over the last 4 years, because you think you start to see who this person is, but you really need to see multiple off seasons, multiple years of roster construction before you figure out what a guy's tendencies and preferences are. And the thing that I love most about Brett Veach, and I think this is a sign of any great roster builder in any sport, is that you don't live in a world of absolutes. You don't live in a world where you say, I'll never do this, I'll only do this. You don't fall in love with guys and ignore the circumstances, ignore what is happening with the board, to the point where I don't think they go into, like, some guys fall in love with players. I think a lot of GMs over the next week or two, doing interviews, watching pro days, they're going to fall in love with a guy and they're going to say, do whatever it takes to get me that player. I don't think that's who Brett Veach is. He may have guys he really likes and they hope fall to him, but I don't think they're going to reach on a guy unless they just think it's the perfect guy at the perfect
time. Patrick Mahomes.
He used to be that way. That was the question I had for him when I had a chance to talk to him a couple years ago. I said, which type of GM are you going to be? Because he was that scout. When he liked somebody,
he liked him.
He made sure he liked. Like he would bug Andy Reid.
Oh yeah,
Mahomes different. Mahomes
is prime example. Yeah, like Chris Jones.
It's different when it's a quarterback, right?
It depends. But he finds somebody because he was a Southeastern Conference scout with Philly and with Kansas City. But Andy Reid's even admitted it in the draft room that, hey man, Veach has been all over me about this guy. Even Veach told Pat McAfee when he's on, he's like, we narrowed down to about two or three. So what he does is find two or three guys he really likes. Then he presents them to Andy Reid. Because, you know, Andy Reid doesn't do the draft and all this, but he is instrumental in it because Brett Veach said he'll take it down to two or three and get the coach's advice on it.
Right, but that's why I say it. You need multiple years of watching this guy do the job to figure that out because it's completely different when you are rebuild mode looking for a franchise quarterback than when you have two titles under your belt and now you're just looking to keep this thing sustainable and you have a quarterback with a cap hit over $40 million. Like your thought process changes a bit when the circumstances of your roster change.
Yeah, it does. And the philosophy, right? The philosophy, how you're building your team, what you're doing. It's like that Albert Breer article, you know, thinking about Brant Tillis and Veach figuring out a way to pay Mahomes before he even started. That's being proactive. Eight contributors last year, those 10 picks in the Super Bowl. You had four rookies out there, defensive back. That's building a young team. And that's the other thing, too. The Chiefs took 10 guys last year. Do we expect them to take another 10 this year? Because 21 of the 22 in the last 3 years are still in the roster. But this is definitely a seismic shift. And they've rebuilt the roster right in front of everybody. Like, you know when they call it a rebuild? When some of the Chiefs said, you know, they thought this was going to be a rebuild year when, you know, Kelce said that kind of stuff. He's kind of right. Only four guys remain on this roster previous to Mahomes. That's it. That is flipping a roster, and people I don't think realize that nationally, that the Chiefs have flipped the roster because 50% of those four guys are James Winchester and Harrison Butker, specialists. That's it. Only Chris Jones and Kelce, the only skill position guys here before Mahomes. They have literally flipped this roster with their philosophies right in front of us.
Yeah, they were the third youngest team in the NFL this past season. The thing, though, that's really interesting is like, and you'll like this reference, Bean, because you're a big fan of it. They're kind of doing what like Alabama and Georgia have done, which is like you retool, but you do such a good job at finding talent that you immediately get contribution from them. And there's so many teams out there that have a bunch of draft picks, take a bunch of guys, and they're not able to turn that into production on the field from as many guys as the Chiefs were able to this past season. And I think that should draw a lot of confidence for what the Chiefs will do this year, because they don't have nearly as many needs as they had last year, because they're probably not going to go out here and just like do a fire sale and start trading guys, letting guys walk away. Like, I know a lot of people think that they might make a move with L'Jarius Sneed. I'm not convinced on that. I could see them.
Me either. He's too versatile.
Yeah, exactly.
And they preach versatility.
Exactly. I can see them playing it out, and if he leaves, he leaves. They get a compensatory pick. But like, I really do think that they are so confident in their ability to evaluate talent and maneuver to get that talent that they're going to look at this situation and, like, again, Veach is going to be rubbing his hands together and Andy's like, okay, yeah, good, go get that guy. And then all of a sudden now they could very well have, I mean, certainly maybe not eight like they had this year, but maybe like, let's say you get like three or four good contributors from this team. Well, all of a sudden now, that adds on to what they already have, and they could be in a great position for years to come, because they are still technically rebuilding, but it's like when you are in a position of an Alabama or Georgia rebuilding, you're doing it while still winning.
That's a good point. But here's one thing about the Chiefs. The Chiefs don't have something to look at, Nick. They don't have a bar. Like, the other teams can point to the Chiefs. Hey, we got to catch this team.
Yeah.
We have to draft good guys to stop Mahomes. We got to find a way to get to the quarterback and Mahomes. It's why the Chargers in free agency, right? Khalil Mack. They have a bar. They have a barometer. The barometer is the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs do not have a barometer. They don't have a bar. They don't have to say, hey, we have to do this, this, and this to beat these teams because they beat them. They're playing against themselves is what they're doing. And everybody else can look at the Chiefs. Hey, we draft, we got to stop this team. And they focus on it. People talk about it, the combine, whatever, how we stop Mahomes and all that. These GMs are talking about that. But the Chiefs don't have that bullseye. They don't have it because they're at the top of the mountain. When you're at the top of the mountain, everybody wants to get to the top of the mountain. When you're on the top of the mountain, you gotta maintain. You got to sustain what you're doing. And that's the toughest thing that the Chiefs are doing.
All right, so you guys have sort of touched on this a little bit, but I want to pull it back a little bit. I want to do maybe a 30,000-foot view on this draft class. So not just specifically what the Chiefs are going after. Chris, you mentioned how deep this class is going to be at defensive end. Let's set the scene for this 2023 draft class. What do you guys think? And last year, it was defensive in a lot of ways. Last year was a weak quarterback class, which is usually what we're talking about. Really weak quarterback class last year. A lot of pass rushers. A lot of edge rushers were going early. What do you guys think is going to be the defining characteristic of this class? And what do you think the ripple effect of this class will have on what is sitting in front of the Chiefs when it gets to them at 31?
If I was going to say, I'd say lack of quarterbacks again.
Really?
The question marks the quarterback.
But we know there's going to be four quarterbacks going in the first round.
I think there's probably like four. Yeah, there's probably four quarterbacks going, maybe top 10.
But how's the quality going to be? That's the question. Will the quality be? Because I think when you look back at drafts, we judge it by quarterbacks.
Okay, but let me.
I do agree.
The number one way you judge a draft class is the quarterbacks we're taking. I'll be honest with you, four is good because you need this so the Chiefs have more flexibility in the players they grab. So
the 2013 class was, I mean, yeah,
you want everybody grabbing a wide receiver, or not wide receiver, excuse me, quarterback in the beginning, because you're not getting a quarterback. So the more quarterbacks that are taken, okay, they're picking 31. They could conceivably be technically picking 25 or 26, depending on how many quarterbacks taken. So they can jump from 31 to 25. With skill positions, because no one else is going those directions. So the quarterbacks do help the Chiefs move up, in my opinion, without trading.
No, I agree with you on the quarterbacks thing. It is very important. The fact that there are four guys who are getting first round grades is going to be really important. The fact that the Bears leaked out today that they are going to very much entertain moving that number one overall pick is going to create a whole bunch, like a big sweepstakes for teams trying to trade for him.
Well, and it's bad when the best quarterback's still in college.
Exactly.
It would be number one overall had he been in the draft.
I mean, it is what it is, though.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, I mean, it's a bad look on them when the guy that would have been taken ahead of these guys is still at USC.
Yeah, but like they are definitely there's a lot of good guys in this class here. I definitely am, you know, Will Levis and Anthony Richardson, not the biggest fans of them.
Don't sleep on Stetson Bennett.
I told you, didn't I tell you? Week one, I was like Stetson Bennett might be a first round pick.
He's gonna give Chase Daniel a run for his money in career earnings, he is gonna
be the Chase Daniel of this generation.
Yes, I have to call a timeout here.
An incredible salesman for State Farm.
He is gonna be a perennial backup everywhere.
I have to call a timeout right here, episode one. I hate to have to do this now, but I'm throwing a flag, Bink.
I'm challenging it.
No, it's too late.
You can't challenge a challenge.
Yeah, you can't. I'm throwing a flag. And actually, no, he can challenge us because this is a yellow flag.
Oh, this is a yellow flag.
This is a yellow flag.
Are we the XFL?
I think I'm going to have to call for a ban on all Stetson Bennett conversations.
That's ridiculous because this guy gets no credit, no run. It's embarrassing for you, Nick.
It's embarrassing for me.
You should appreciate Stetson Bennett and his greatness because that whole text line, our little chat group, everybody was dogging Stetson.
But this is not
this guy.
But there's no text line because this is a podcast.
We still have a text line.
And I don't think it's relevant to the Chiefs or to Kansas City.
It's fun to bring him up, though.
I'm not having fun talking. It's only because
Washington needs a new quarterback.
And by the way, I just want you to know, you are solely responsible for me not wanting to talk about Stetson Bennett because of the amount of text messages you've sent me over the last 6 months.
Because he's getting hated on.
And it won't even be any. There's no context when he texts me, Chris. It will just say Stetson Bennett.
He will just say Stetson Bennett.
That's it. That's it. They won't even have played a game that day. It'll be Tuesday.
He's done that with me with some players. I've not gotten the Stetson Bennett text.
Unbelievable. I can't do it. I can't do it anymore, man. You've ruined Stetson Bennett for me.
If we're doing a draft podcast, though, we have to talk about it. Maybe
we do kind of.
We
should not have to devote this much time to Stetson Bennett.
Would you take him as a backup for Mahomes?
I think he could come in as an open competition.
Can you imagine if we drafted? Can you
imagine a nice little practice squad player? Him and Shane Michelle.
Can you imagine if we drafted Stetson Bennett? Then you'd have to talk about it.
They should not draft Stetson Bennett.
Let's nip that in the bud right now.
They should not draft Stetson Bennett.
But then Nick would have to talk about him, which is
okay,
great.
So this is actually a perfect segue because I know how Bink cares about Stetson Bennett, and he has draft crushes, plural, multiple, many.
And it's not Stetson.
Many draft. Well, he could be one of them at the quarterback spot.
What, a six-round, seventh-round?
So, he's like the Ricky Stanzi, the Tyler Bray type of
undrafted
crush.
Undrafted free agent.
Yeah,
crush.
He's like the backup that like the real like super diehard fans have a crush on.
So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put very strict parameters on this. I'm not going to make you wait any longer, Bing. I want, and we're all going to go around and give our dream scenario, pie in the sky, even if you think it's a little unrealistic, even if you think he's probably not going to be there at 31. I want your big first-round draft crush for the Chiefs. And the parameters are, you can't give me multiple names. Again, because I know you want to. I know you want to. So one?
He's got one. Don't worry. He's got the one.
So just one name of, I mean, dream scenario. Not like a guy I know will be there at 31. Dream scenario, I would love to see this guy in red and gold trotting out there at Arrowhead on Sundays.
Last year was Christian Watson. I think we all know that last year.
You did like him.
When I find a guy, I usually stay with him. You know, I'm not wishy-washy where you have like seven guys at the team. You're like, hey, I like this guy a lot. No. Who did you like? That's your question. Jalin Hyatt. I brought him up last time, too. Cedric Thomas was the main receiver at Tennessee until he got hurt. Jalin Hyatt came from nowhere. That team, Tennessee, he was their weapon. And Hendon Hooker connection with Jalin Hyatt was one of those explosive in college football. The guy averaged over 18 yards of reception, 67 catches, 1,267 yards. And we'll see what the 40 is. Could it be sub 4.3? Maybe. Could it be, 4.33, 4.35? Maybe. Don't forget, MVS, Pacheco, they're 4.37 guys. So could even be faster than that. I just think with the breakaway speed, it's what fits the Chiefs. Why I went Christian Watson so bad because he was so fast and so big. And the Chiefs have always been looking for that bigger receiver. But Jalin Hyatt gives them an explosive down-the-field weapon for Patrick Mahomes that I think they desperately covet.
So Last week we did episode zero. I said Will McDonald the fourth. I've changed.
Okay, so I just want to let you know real quick on Will McDonald the fourth. I saw him mock to the Chiefs today.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw. Yeah, I think. What was it? It was a CBS, right? Or was it Kuiper?
He may have. I think Kuiper.
I know. I'm pretty sure Kuiper.
There's only about 10,000 mock drafts out there, but I believe this one was Pro Football Focus. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Continue. So I was on that train. I was like I said, he was my draft crush. I'm starting to come around on the Jalen Hyatt deal.
Oh, wow.
I'm starting to come around on Jalen Hyatt.
You're piggybacking Bink.
Welcome to the
I'm
club.
Starting to come around on it. Like, I've thought about this. And I really feel like the Chiefs are trying to recreate the Legion of Zoom. You got Kadarius Toney. If Kadarius can stay healthy, he is going to be such a dynamic weapon. I think he could be what Mecole Hardman wasn't for this team. Sky Moore, I think I got some high hopes for him. He showed some promise. He's just got to learn the offense, and he's got to work his way up the depth chart.
Yeah, and he's a faster guy than all those guys.
Exactly. Yeah. So like you've got Kadarius, you got Sky Moore, you add Jalen Hyatt to this offense. All of a sudden now, who are you going to cover? Because you still got Kelce out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You still got Pacheco in the backfield, and hopefully Pacheco develops more as a pass catcher.
4-3-7, and with MVS, you have 4-3-7, and with Jalen Hyatt, you have 4-2-3.
All under 4-4 40 times, maybe even under 4-3.
Sky Moore becomes the slowest guy, and he's a quick guy.
He becomes the slowest guy, and he's really fast. So all of a sudden, you add that guy, especially if he runs under 4-3. Oh, man, that would just be unfair. It would be, like, I don't think they need to draft a receiver in the first round, but I want them to draft a receiver in the first round. I like where Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore are heading towards, and I think they could be really good contributors. But you add a Jalen Hyatt, to me, like, if Hyatt turns into a productive receiver, it could have a massive impact on this offense for years to come and make it so much easier for them to score a point.
Well, Sky's a 4-4-1 guy in his combo. I think Jalen Hyatt's numbers will be really fun to watch because, again, it'll affect where he's drafted the 40 time, but also the measurements. Because he's listed right now about 6 foot.
Yeah.
And he comes in at 5'11". That could change things. He comes in at 6 foot. All of a sudden, we look different. Because don't forget, Juju is just an inch taller than Jalen Hyatt.
Yeah, it might push him up a little bit. Like, the 40 time is going to be everything.
He is one of the most to gain in this draft for the guys at the combine.
Right, yeah. He could it could very well kind of be like what happened with Henry Ruggs. I just feel like you add him to this offense, all of a sudden it creates a whole new dimension, and you get some of that explosiveness that you lost with Tyreek back. Hopefully they don't get to a point where they're like using Jalen the way that they were using Tyreek in 2021, where you're throwing it to him probably a little bit too much, and the defense is kind of keying on that.
I think we forget how strong Tyreek was. That's
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah, he was really strong.
He's built like a running back. Yeah, he's built like
one,
a rock.
Because he was one, yeah.
He's just so tough.
Right. I just feel like you got to add another weapon to kind of spread things out on your offense, and it just makes your team better.
Okay, so I went back and forth here, and I wanted to go wide receiver, but both of you guys went wide receiver, so
get with what you want.
I'm not going to do that.
Just join the club, man.
No, I'm not going to do it. Because
there's room for you.
Join the club,
Well,
bro.
Here's the reason why I won't. Because there is another position that I am equally excited about.
You better not say offensive tackle.
That I think is very deep, that gets me very excited, and there are multiple players at this position I can choose, but I am going to go with an unpopular selection here. Darnell Washington, tight end out of Georgia. 6'7".
I have things to say about that.
Vic loves that. Vic loves that. I don't think he's going to be there.
I do, but he's the second best tight end in Georgia, and you know it.
He
gets credit for the great blocking and things like that. Yeah. People love Darnell Washington, but he's not as good as Bowers.
But Bowers
isn't
available.
Yeah, Bowers.
Next year's drafts can be ridiculous.
Bowers is going back to school.
Bowers might be, what, at least top 15.
So
right?
Let me tell you a little bit.
We have both of them. We have back-to-back drafts.
Yeah, let's go get Bowers next year.
So let me explain Washington a little bit, and then I'll explain why I think he makes a lot of sense to the Chiefs. So for anybody who's not familiar with Darnell Washington, he's tough to miss if you watched any games.
He's very big.
He is 6'7".
Huge.
280 pounds.
And it's a Jason Dunn type.
On Monday.
That's a throwback.
But here is what separates him from Jason Dunn and really any other tight end of his size. There was a report from Rusty Mansell of 24/7 Sports
ever,
on Monday. He said that Darnell Washington, he is hearing,
is running in the 4.63 to 4.66 range at testing. Now, if he at 280 pounds and 6'7 runs in the 4.66 range, he's probably not making it to pick 31.
Yeah, that's Travis Kelce range right there.
At an offensive guard size, right? This is a massive target, and when you think about where the Chiefs are at as an organization, first things first, we don't know what's going to happen with Juju Smith-Schuster. And the reason why I bring him up is because of the way that the Chiefs employed him. They used him across the middle. Juju was basically a tight end out there as your number one receiver. He wasn't someone working the outsides. He wasn't someone taking the top off the defense. He took pressure off Travis Kelce. So whether or not Juju is back and signs an extension with the Chiefs in 2023, we know this much about Travis Kelce. He will turn 34 years old next year, and as great as he is, Father Time is undefeated, and eventually you will have to start game planning for life after Kelce. And that's what the great GMs in the NFL do. They don't wait for the thing that you don't want to happen. They are proactive, and they anticipate it happening. So if you anticipate there being a decline in Travis Kelce's play over the next 3 years, tight end, a position which typically takes 2 or 3 years before guys really start to hit
like
their
Noah
strides.
Green, for example, got and, much
unless,
I mean,
unless you're Kyle Pitts, who had a down year in his second season.
My guy.
Most guys at that position are not ready to contribute from day one.
Who threw it to Darnell Washington?
Who what?
Who threw it to him?
At
Georgia, yeah.
Stetson Bennett.
Thank you.
Broke my own rule.
Every time we bring up a Georgia player, you're gonna try to throw some Stetson Bennett.
Guys, we saw the Chiefs do more underneath stuff. We saw it. Mahomes was the best quarterback in the NFL attacking between the hashes. This guy does all of that. He is at a position that, if not is of need now, will be of need in the future. And he's a freak of nature. He just checks a lot of boxes and makes me very excited.
There's 45 catches in his career.
Maybe if they had a better quarterback, they could have utilized him.
Maybe so. Or not having a Brock Bowers there too. Okay, the tight end.
Yeah, they had a better tight end than him.
That's why he was pick with the other tight end that was there. I'm always cautious on taking the other guy at a position.
Yeah. The Matt Castle of the unit.
So many times defensive line, just the other guy. Julius Peppers, the year he was drafted, the Chiefs went the other direction.
Ryan Sims.
Again, drafting the second guy on a defensive line, you see what can happen.
That's
so
terrible.
Always cautious. Yes, the size is freak of nature. Underutilized, in my opinion, college, but there could be potential there. I don't know if that's your slam dunk you're looking for.
I will say this.
Michael Meyer. You like that one better?
Yes.
I don't know if he's going to be there.
He's not going to be
there. Well, maybe if Darnell Washington runs a 4.6, then he'll go first, and then Michael Meyer can start
Darnell
at the
Washington,
end of
I mean, you maybe. Know. He's a very interesting guy.
I will say this about tight end. Sorry, I know you wanted to say something, Chris, but I will say this about tight end. Because it's not seen as I think, league-wide as one of the value positions, right? It's not receiver, cornerback, quarterback, left tackle, pass rusher.
I haven't ranged like either.
If you have a strong draft class at that position, which it seems like this is a really strong tight end, like there could potentially be 3 or 4 tight ends that go in the first round. We know how this happens.
Teams
fall in love with certain dudes, and then all of a sudden a guy who you had as the best tight end in the class is there at 21, 22. And if that happens to Michael Meyer, I'd be tempted to trade up again. I'm just saying, that's the way we've seen it happen before.
But see, when I think of Kelce, I think of a guy like Michael Meyer. I mean, you think of a top tight end. Now, Darnell Washington, it's got potential. You know what I'm saying? Total potential. But it's not that star, you say, because Travis Kelce was a third rounder. Okay, he developed into a star, so it can't happen. But I don't know if you look and say, all right, this can replace Kelce, unless it's going to be by a committee, unless Noah Gray's going to be out there catching the ball still, and you're going to use multiple tight ends.
I think the one thing I do find your idea really interesting, Nick, is because the Chiefs ran a lot more bigger personnel this year to try to counter the two high safety shells the defenses are running against them. And so there was a whole lot of times where they would have 2-3 tight ends on the field at any given time, which is the reason why Noah Gray got so many touches this year in comparison to what he had before. I could totally see this being one of those moves where, like, if he were to fall, it would be a sneaky move. Certainly some people might question it and say, oh, well, they could use a tackle or they could use an edge rusher or a receiver. But, like, considering the fact that the Chiefs did not run nearly as many 3 three wide receiver formations because they were trying to counter what defenses were doing. Yeah. I could totally see them going, if he were to fall, go a tight end in the first round there. That way they can kind of build on a strength and build on a situation that they're working on to counter what defenses are doing anyway.
And that size and he can cover too.
Exactly. Like, you know, if he were to develop as a route runner the way that Kelce has, he'd be uncoverable, just like Kelce is. So that I definitely think that that's an interesting idea. It's not what I think they should do, but I do think that if they went that route, I wouldn't be mad.
Guys, the Chiefs have drafted at the 31st overall pick one time, only one time in NFL history. And that was in 1995, where they selected Trezell Jenkins.
Oh, Trezell Jenkins.
A tackle.
Michigan man.
A tackle, that's right. Out of Michigan, he started one career game for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Those Carl Peterson drafts, man. You go back and look at those Carl Peterson drafts.
So if you're a superstitious person, then maybe the Chiefs should stray away from left tackle. All right, guys. The Chiefs have dominated the draft the last 2 years. Brett Veach has had an absolute slam dunk performance, certainly last year and the year before. Eight starters drafted in the last two years. 10 starters drafted in the last 3 years. Simple question. How has the Chiefs' success in the draft the last 2 or 3 years impacted what they can or should do this year? Does the fact that you've killed it the last couple of years give you freedom to take bigger swings this year?
I think so, but eventually the check comes due. And with these players, eventually you have to pay them. And the problem is they're all bunched together where their contracts can come up at the same time. Because 21 out of 22 from the last 3 years are on the roster. Clyde, you know, that's not going to be picked up at the fifth-year option. Bo Pete Keys remains the only guy not still on the roster from the last 3 years.
That's going to be a trivia question
in like 10 years. Watch.
But they've all been good. That's since 2020, the guys that are still on this roster. But again, the check comes due. And, you know, the check comes due for these guys, and they're going to have a bunch at the same time. So you got to keep doing it through the draft. You keep supplying young talent, you keep drafting, you keep hoping for the best. And oftentimes people say, well, they starting because they have to, or they starting because they're good. And the Chiefs are in the category that their young players are playing because they're good, not because they have to. Because there's some teams that play a lot of rookies. Now, the only two rookie classes that played more than the Chiefs are picking 1 and 2 in the draft. Funny how that works. But they're picking 1 and 2, and the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. It shows the difference. I feel that these young guys have been contributors with this football team rather than just playing them because you have to.
Yeah, I agree with you. Andy and his coordinators, they're not the type of people that are going to play a player because they have to. They're going to make sure, because like they did a really good job at positions they weren't confident at, they supplemented it with a veteran. So like take right tackle, for instance. They could have just said, okay, Luke, go out there and do it. Or the guy that we know that they really wanted to make right tackle last year, Darian Kennard, he wasn't ready. He did not have a good camp. He had all the measurables they really liked. That's why they traded back into the sixth round to go get him. He did not end up showing what they needed to see from him to give him that job. So what did they do? They brought back Andrew Wiley. They made sure.
Niang, too. That's a guy. That's,
yeah. You know. And Niang's a guy that I'm sure that they hope can get back to it and show something. And maybe he could be that
guy.
But
injuries, yeah.
But injuries have really hurt him. So they're not that team that's going to force guys out there just because they have to. If they were going to do that, then they would have not signed Justin Reed. They would have had Brian Cook out there playing at the other safety spot opposite Thornhill. You know, they would not have gone in with Darius Harris. They would have just had Leo out there starting from the beginning instead of him sitting on the bench and then working his way up into the starting lineup. You know, they threw George Karloftis out there because he showed that he can handle it. And I really feel like if they were not confident in these young guys, they wouldn't put them out there. Because at the end of the day, the goal is to win championships. It'd be different if you were a team that was like, you know, hey, let's go see what happens. We need to develop guys. They're not at that position. They're trying to win championships. And when you have that mindset, you're not going to force guys out there if they're not ready.
I think if you're talking about being aggressive, specifically this year with this team, with this roster, being aggressive would mean taking a risk at a position that you don't necessarily need, but that you think would put you over the top. And I think that can mean a couple of different things. For the Chiefs, trading up to get a left tackle to me, would be being very aggressive, saying, you know what, we're not going to pay Orlando Brown Jr. $24, $25 million a year. We're not going to overpay on a guy that we don't think is an elite-level player. So we're going to try and trade up, and we are going to take a risk in that we think we can get comparable play or a better value by moving up, seeing if a left tackle falls, bringing him in, shipping Orlando Brown Jr. off to the highest bidder. That, to me, is what I'm thinking when I'm being aggressive. Also, like, just trading up for a wide receiver, right? If you think Jackson Smith and Jigba is the truth, if you think he is going to be the next whoever, right? List off your elite NFL receiver, and that can take your offense to the next level. Or if you're anticipating the counterpunch from the rest of the NFL as to what they're going to do next year to try and stop your offense, go out, add more firepower, do it that way, knowing that there's not a lot of elite receivers or any elite receivers that are going to be available in free agency.
I got a question for y'all. If they were to trade up, like a lot of people were asking me this question last year, and I was like, if the Chiefs trade up, they're going to take an edge rusher. They did not. They took a corner. I think this surprised everyone with that. If they trade up, what position do you think they're taking?
I'd say two, wide receiver or tackle, because if you want a left tackle, you got to get up. You got to get up top 15.
But couldn't you say that about edge rusher as well?
Edge rusher deep this year.
It's really deep. But man,
it's really deep, man. I don't know about edge rusher. There's really
man,
deep.
Guys, I think we're falling victim a little bit to last season.
It was deep last year too.
But that's not normal, is what I'm saying.
You're right. It's not normal. But I mean, if it is what it is, even if it's not normal,
because there's part of me that says, okay, you got fortunate last year that the draft board fell the way that it did, and you got a guy like Karlaftis sitting there at 30 or whatever.
Which I was shocked because he was only
like, is that can you really can
right?
You,
yeah, he was top 15.
Can you really
for sure
bank on that happening 2 years in a row when history suggests that you usually have to be drafting in the top 12 to 15 to get one of those elite level pass rushers?
If you want a left tackle, yes. Pass rusher, it's a little bit different. As I told you from the previous year, almost 50% of them came in top 15 picks for great pass rushers. And a guy like Tyree Wilson would be perfect because inside, outside, wherever you want.
He's not going to. They can't. They'd have to trade two first to get up to get him.
He's not going
to
be there.
I think if they do, it depends on where they
some
trade
people up. Saying he's better than Will Anderson. Like, yeah.
If it depends on where they trade up. If they trade up into like the mid 20s, it's a receiver. Or even just anywhere in the 20s, it's a receiver. If they trade up into the teens, it's going to be a tackle.
So see where Jordan Addison starts falling.
Right. Yeah. If they trade up into the 20s, it'll be because they're like,
McDuffie fell on their board.
McDuffie did. I think they thought worst 18.
Yeah.
So they didn't think he was going to be there at 21. And when he was there, like, let's go get him. I think if they go into the teens, it's because a tackle fell. If they go into the 20s, like especially like mid 20s, it's because Addison or Hyatt is sitting there and they feel like they really got to get that guy. That's the only reason why I think they would do that. So I think it depends on where it is. But yeah, if it's before 20, it's a tackle.
Who's going to trade with the Patriots twice last year? You got to find that trade partner.
Yeah, yeah. It would be like someone like a Paris Johnson falling or
although
something like that.
Although, you look at the Bills, that's the reason we have Mahomes.
The Bills need to add some more draft picks.
Because of the Ravens, so two rivals are the reason the Chiefs are where
the Bills could use some draft picks because they got to pay some people, and they're way over the cap right now.
That's so interesting because last year was thought of as the offseason where everybody was coming for the Chiefs. The Bills have been vocal about the fact that they have been building to stop the Chiefs for 3+ years now. It was so interesting on an offseason where it felt like, okay, finally they're seeing the opportunity and they're trying to take it. None of them got the job done. And when you do that, when you're ultra aggressive and you fall short of expectations, a lot of times you do have to rein it back in. The Chiefs are not in rein it back in mode. The Chiefs are, no, we were conservative last year. And we still added hardware. We still beat all your asses. And we got a Lombardi trophy. And now guess what? We don't have a $31 million cap hit receiver. Instead, we have financial flexibility. We have draft assets. And we don't have the pressure of having to get it right this year because we're coming off a Super Bowl. It is the perfect position.
Yeah, sit at the top of the mountain and they do have Mahomes.
Yep.
That's the saving grace.
Right, we'll say that every year. So before we wrap things up, guys, it's interesting that the draft is in Kansas City this year because today, February 28th, if you're listening on the day this podcast went live, which you should be, right? If you didn't, then next week, make sure you're listening Tuesday morning. Today marks the first flights out of the new single terminal
at KCI. And that may not feel draft related, but it absolutely is, because if this airport were not opening, the draft would not be in Kansas City this year. Make no mistake about it. This was as instrumental as getting this draft and this event to Kansas City as possible. And when you think about that, you think about the idea that they're going to have the World Cup here in 4 years, and how instrumental getting the draft, right? Like, these are all sort of appetizers for the next thing. You have to get the first thing to get the next thing. This new airport, while it feels like it's something that's only relevant to Kansas City, it is having wide-reaching impacts on a lot of different things.
Maybe just the added flights. This town's so excited about it. I mean, this town's excited about the Big 12 tournament, then having a regional here in Kansas City as well, and the draft and the World Cup, as you say. In the airport, people are so excited about this. What, they let 10,000 people go check it out the other day, and people went there, took pictures.
There's going to be news crews flying in and out tonight, tomorrow morning.
Yeah,
the news
has been talking about this like every day.
Yeah.
You know, showing the behind the scenes at the airport, getting excited about it opening. This town is really excited about the airport, and it's civic pride, I think, when it comes to the airport, because you know what can come to Kansas City once that airport's here. Once people see how fun it's going to be, like, people are genuinely excited about the different restaurants and things like that at the airport. They might just go up there for fun without even flying out.
No, they're not.
I don't know about that, Chris. They're not doing it. I don't know about that, man.
You know how far north
somebody
the airport is for most people.
Well, you know what?
City?
I have to live up by there, so I'm ready to go.
So you might do it.
I may just go hang out at the airport.
But most people in the city live below the Missouri River, so they're not going to drive that far.
I may go up to the airport just
hang out. Ain't no damn way I'm about to go hang out at the airport.
Get some barbecue, some beer.
No. There's so many better barbecue places that'll be there around where we are. No, there's no way. I do love it though, because it brings more things here. The draft, obviously, we needed it for that. World Cup is going to be so important.
You're going to be embarrassed too when those top picks fly into KCI and their families
old-ass
or whatever.
Terminal, that old ass.
Airport's nice.
I flew out of that old terminal back in June last year.
Poor Jalen Hurts when he came to the 1-on-1 awards for the Chiefs last week. He had to fly
in that old terminal.
I'll tell you
there.
What, guys.
Maybe you think he flew private downtown?
100% he flew private. He did not fly. Yeah, he was at the downtown airport. He was not at KCI.
What do you think Daboll did? I think Daboll flew for commercial.
The Giants flew him over to the downtown airport.
The GM came too, so maybe they did take a private plane.
Yeah, they took a private plane.
I flew out of that airport, I think it was 16 times in 2022. So I'm quite familiar with it, and as somebody who flies quite frequently, this could not come any sooner. And I know for a lot of people have complained that, well, flying out of Kansas City, it's great because you can park your car and you're through security in 5 minutes.
Exactly. You can park right next to the stadium.
Yeah, I know. That's
great. Plenty of parking out there.
Hey, that's fantastic.
We love parking.
But let me just, for people who haven't flown out of a lot of other airports, other people seem to be okay with bigger, nicer airports with more amenities that happens to take 15 to 20 minutes longer to get through security. It's not that big of a deal. You get there half an hour earlier, you show up, and guess what? If your flight gets delayed, or if you ever have to have a layover,
you got stuff there.
You got stuff to keep you occupied. And I cannot emphasize enough how important that is. If you're somebody who doesn't live in Kansas City, right, and you may think to yourself, people outside of Kansas City don't care about the Kansas City airport. They do, and I'll tell you why. Because if I'm flying from Boston to Phoenix, and I see that there's a layover in Kansas City or a layover in Austin, I'm taking the layover in Austin, because I know at that airport, there will be something for me to do. At the airport in Kansas City, I will sit there and I'll have to go to Pork and Pickle or Jose Cuervo's Taqueria. Those are my two options to keep me occupied in this hour and a half layover.
You can DoorDash.
People don't want to fly through Kansas City.
Don't DoorDash to the airport. What are you doing?
No, people have done that.
Don't do
that.
I think, who was it? Tracy Wolfson?
Yeah,
who
don't
did
do,
it?
Don't
yeah,
do that.
So, I mean, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to make yourself more attractive to the rest of the country.
It's just so much. This town is so happy. I mean, you get the world champion Chiefs. You got the draft coming to Kansas City. In the regional here as well. So excited about the World Cup. But this airport and just the buzzing in this town from what football has brought us with the Chiefs, and with Patrick Mahomes here, this team's always going to be relative, as we know. But just to have the new airport too, I mean, this things are going so well in a town for a long time, we didn't have nice things. We didn't have nice things.
Yeah.
Maybe your neighbor's getting a new TV and nice things. And you're like, oh, that's cool. I wish we had nice things.
Yeah, I wish we had some nice stuff.
Kansas City, we're getting nice things. As I'm always called, the little area between Kauffman and Arrowhead, the Boulevard of Broken Dreams. That's kind of how Kansas City was with
little stuff
airport.
Matters. The we little have stuff
nice
matters.
Stuff now we have nice stuff, guys.
Yeah, and obviously that stuff costs money, and that's the reason why it was important for us to make that investment. Certainly, whenever we start talking about like public funds having to go towards things, there's some arguments. There's things that happen there. People are like, oh, I don't want my tax dollars to go to that. But like, if you really want this city to improve, and so many people in this city are tired of people trash talking it, tired of people in rival cities like Denver and whatnot talking about all the great things they got. Denver's had this big renaissance ever since they legalized weed over there, and all of a sudden now they've got all these things. Like we got to do something.
Yeah, Missouri
to make that
said,
stuff
"Hold
happen
my beer."
Too. Yeah, they said, "Hold my beer." We
they
got weed
get
too.
The World Cup either.
We got
Kansas
weed too. They all of a sudden now like, and this could be like a big catalyst that helps out Kansas City even more. So there could be much bigger things on the horizon.
By the way, I think we should actually lobby to make that the new Missouri official state slogan.
We got weed here.
We got weed too.
That's good. That's
isn't
good.
Union Station kind of becoming Kansas City symbol? You know, like the arch and St.
Oh yeah,
thing.
It's
like when
yeah.
you think of Kansas City because of all the big
most
events and the parades,
most cliche
and now
imagery.
The draft. Yeah. Like you didn't even think of Union Station.
Well, keep
around
winning
around the country.
Keep
when
winning
you saw
championships.
Kansas City. But now they always show it because they always have the different colors, the Royals or Chiefs or whatever. And then the parade always ends up there. It's going to be the draft. It's going to be spotlighted. But Union Station, its rise to popularity in this town is insurmountable because of the sports teams and the draft we're going to have. But that is really becoming a Kansas City fixture is seeing that train station.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Empire State Building of the city.
Yep. It's our thing.
It's our thing.
Well, this is our thing, guys. This is officially our thing now that we have one episode in the books.
Yep.
Character concerns.
One and a half.
Well, yeah, we don't count the first one. That was just a little teaser. You know, you'll learn in the biz. You got to do some things to keep the bosses happy, put some audio up on the site. You know how to play the game. You got to play the game, guys. Hey, we're going to have new episodes out every Tuesday up and through the NFL draft. This is just the first one. This is your little appetizer. We're going to be
combine
having on
week. Don't forget combine
great
week.
Guests.
Bink is going to be so horny this weekend watching the combine.
Bink
yes, I will.
Is going to spend all week and weekend watching just big muscular men run around in tight fitting clothing.
Yeah, it's great for the dating life too. Hey, I'm watching draft.
How many? Yeah, I'm telling my girl.
Come over.
Seriously, I got such the greatest excuse to watch the combine. Now my girlfriend usually doesn't like me watching that stuff.
You
want to
come watch routes?
Yeah, I'm gonna watch guys go out here and throw balls to other guys out there on an empty field with just a bunch of nerdy people in the stands watching.
Hey guys, by the way, congratulations. Our boss told us to keep it to a tight hour. We are right at an hour, man. Already keeping him happy.
What
so
are we at?
Company man, it doesn't matter. We're close to an hour.
Okay.
We're close to an hour. He said, don't go over.
We're professionals.
And we're not going over because when the boss says jump, we say, how high, sir?
Just keep it
as sir. Down. That's right. So if you haven't already, thanks for lasting
free.
This long. If you want more of this, do us and yourself a favor. Hit that subscribe button, rate, review, and we will talk to you guys next Tuesday.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.